music. There has to be strictly between us. We had some other channels to them, and we knew they were ready. But we had never made a formal approach, so our ambassador in Warsaw was in here to pay a call on the president, and the president said, at the next, you go to social receptions with the Chinese. And the ambassador said, yes. He said, at the next reception, you go up to the Chinese ambassador and tell him you want to see him and to start talking again. Well, that's so unusual that the ambassador thought the president must have been joking. So for months nothing happened, so I sent him a telegram reminding him of the presidential instruction, rather strict. So he did go up to the Chinese ambassador at the next reception, and he said, well, I have to get instruction. And 2 weeks later, the Chinese said they had a message for us. Could they come to the embassy? It was the day of a blizzard in Warsaw, so we had, and the front door was snowed in, so we made them come in the side door. They said, why didn't you let us come in the front door? And the message itself, just to show you how the Chinese operate, was simply a radio announcement that they had released 3 American yachtsmen who had strayed into Chinese territory, but that, having been in our embassy, they then said, there had to be a return call on theirs, and when we went to theirs the second time, they accepted the Warsaw talks. And mentioning it only for the circuitous way their minds work, and how one has to do some unusual things.
Now, with regard to this, maybe, or it may be faster than it appears, we, however, are going to play it very cautiously and publicly, because first, for us to play it any other way would get a bad reaction from the Chinese, but second, it could also create problems in the other game we're playing, and that's for Soviet. So, but I would say on the Chinese front that that story between now and frankly, the end of 1972, I think there will definitely be some significant developments. If anybody were to ask me that, if I were to ask anybody publicly, I would simply say, well, I'm not going to speculate. I think from, however, you ought to know that it's an area of very significant potential, more than appears in the public press, because we know more about what's going on here.
Well, I watched you on the national press conference and how you handled that subject. I had already prepared a speech, which I delivered, and I didn't want to change it.
Sure.
I didn't want to get too far out of it, because I could see what you read between what you were saying. I had probably said more on either floor about what you've done in China than anyone else.
What I say
may be the most significant thing, frankly, that China I want to ask about Taiwan reacting.
It's difficult.
It is really hairy.
You see, that's why we are ducking. And at this point, we've got to face up to it eventually, the problem, the legalistic problems of admission to the UN, to China, and all that. When you get into that, it's hairy with Taiwan. As far as the trade and travel and so forth, there's no problem. But on the Taiwan side, we're holding our hands.
Well, they've called a scene. I suggested that in this most recent speech, which you've got put in the record, that we give that we propose. We have several alternatives, of course, for the most important question. And I suggested that we could either move that or suffer acknowledged defeat if the thing was down to the mat. All we could propose, giving the security seat to the People's Republic and the assembly seats to the
that has been run by the Taiwanese, and that's what breaks.
They immediately called for a meeting. The ambassador was come over to talk to anybody.
Well, that's fine, but I must say that I don't know any answer there. Do you have any?
No.
What would be helpful for Ed to say on this China thing? I think it's, let me say this, I can only tell you, you're on sound ground in saying that you consider this a very significant achievement.
Yes.
Because in my opinion, looking to what I call peace for the generation, it may be more important than the thing with the Russians. You see, the Russians and we are now basically equal. And therefore, when you have two equals, the possibility of either doing something is somewhat remote. On the other hand, with the Chinese, with their potential 15, 20 years from now developing, if China continues to be isolated in the world community, and if their leaders grow up with a paranoid feeling of hatred for and lack of knowledge, because after Zhou Enlai dies, he knows the West, nobody else among the leaders does, then what's going to happen? You could have a terribly difficult situation. And also, the Pacific is where the action's going to be. Oh, Europe is important. We've got a whole NATO and a few other things. But in my view, when the record of this administration is written, Henry, I think, believes that, first of all, we're going to end the war. Second, we're going to have better relations with the Russians. Third, we're going to do a few other things in other parts of the world. I mean, we trust to keep the ministries. We hope we can do this. That may prove to be the most significant thing was breaking the ice with China. Is that true, Henry?
Well, that would be, in historic terms, 800 million people with the longest continuing self-government with their talent, really excluded from international affairs completely for 30 years and not actively participating for nearly 100 now as a, we don't say, a colonial state. And the government has been in control for some 22 years.
Well, it's the reason I started. You've got to think long ahead. And you know this. The difficulty with all of our foreign policy people, and it was even true in the Eisenhower years, we were always thinking from crisis to crisis. Now, we are really taking a long view here. And incidentally, do you realize that none of our Democratic friends could have done what I did on China? Because the right were torn into pieces. But you see, the right, trust me. Do you understand?
Have I said that to you? What you could
on the plane?
What you could do in the world because of the fact of why you had to be elected those people. Some, I suggested this in a book in 64, and Henry will know the.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted to run me out of the party because I suggested. I said the same thing. You can't ignore the existence of 800 million people on Earth. And I talked to a real conservative Republican group the other day, and I began to go over your policies. I give the credit for the SALT, starting the SALT talks, which had never started before, which is very significant. And I've said, look, sure we haven't got results, but the quality of the discussion, the lack of propaganda coming out of these talks is very significant. At least we're talking the China policy, which took a lot of courage, and it didn't, because I know you under pressure from the right. Well, I said it to them, I said, they took a lot of courage. This may be the most significant thing, because here we're dealing with the most populous nation on Earth, on its way to a trillion people.
That's right.
You can imagine, and I said, compare that with us, our 200, and you know, people act like they've never heard this before.
That's right.
You said a trillion people.
A trillion
people are on its way, as a trillion people and themselves, the third nuclear power on Earth. I said, unless you and your grandchildren and great-grandchildren want to live in fear of a nuclear holocaust, there had to be a beginning, and he's the only one who's taken here has the courage to make that beginning. Well, people, this is really saleable, I'm saying, and look, and bring it home to them and what it means.
And I said, before conservative.
And I said, oh, well, they took it.
Colson told me that you've been making some talks.
Yeah, they took it. And I said, look, I said, you know, it's the ping pong thing. I said, the ping pong diplomacy thing, which you know, I joke it up by saying, I hope that by the time the team comes over here, our quality of ping pong will improve in some years. But they take it. And then I moved to Africa. But I think your position in the Nigerian war was the correct position to take. And I think it's going to pay off in the end.
In other words, not to go along with the people that wanted to get us involved.
That, with the Igbo and all that. I wrote several letters with him, as you will know.
I know.
I was very close to Galvin.
You influenced Mr. Stanton.
I spent a lot of time.
He's coming over sometime. I don't know.
In the fall, Mr. President, I think it's the end of
October. We offered him an earlier date. Did you want to take it?
We had him set for February, Mr. President. And
you know him very well. He's very well on the list to come in. In fact, he right into his waiting room.
Right.
So this was very interesting. And then, of course, the Middle East. Even though we hadn't got peace, but at least they're not firing and they're talking.
Yeah.
So you've got that. I don't think we have anything but South Vietnam. South Vietnam.
No, let's talk a minute about South Vietnam.
And if I may, just
one thought
on this European crisis that confronts you now. I think the President's statement was like a stroke. I said, my God, you must be on the hot line. Your timing couldn't have been better as far as that statement was concerned.
He made a speech this morning, Mr. President, or yesterday, in which he formally proposed negotiations on the mutual reduction of forces.
Which is what we
which what you've been saying for years.
Well, let's go ahead. I met with the American leader yesterday. And we knew he was going to say this. We offered to the mutual reduction thing, and Rogers knows it. Rogers said that point. But the point is, we don't give the game away in advance. One thing that could be very helpful, if you could help us there, see, look, for God's sakes, I want to get those forces down in Europe, but we got to negotiate it. And we can't knock down the Europeans and the rest, you know, and particularly the Germans. You leave the Germans out there, cut off, isolated in the center of Europe. Amendment had come up first,
he would have carried the day. I really would. I feel now, if there's any area of accommodation, I don't know what you can do, and perhaps you want it pure, you know, up and down on Mansfield, if there's any shade, because what they want to do is just to have something to say, look, get ready, you know, we're not going to be over there forever.
Well, the point is that there really isn't any accommodation. I'll tell you, at this time, there will be later. There cannot be none. Look at the point. Previous administrations had this problem, but they had no plan to reduce forces. Hell, we have been reducing forces, you know.
Yeah.
We've been reducing them in Europe, and we've been reducing them in Asia, not just Vietnam. We've reduced them in Korea. We've reduced them in Thailand. We've reduced them in the Philippines. We've reduced them in Okinawa. You know, that's the record of this administration. So the whole point is, these guys that are up here, particularly our Democratic friends, why aren't they yapping before? See, well, Mansfield did. Mansfield is an honest pacifist, let's face it. So am I, except I'm more realistic.
I admire
Mike, but I would disagree with him completely.
I'll use the breast argument.
Listen, I can assure you that you will look good later. That's on this one. Aren't you
well,
agree?
Listen, on the statement this morning, you know, you've been saying this really gave credibility to what you're saying, that I need to negotiate this on the journal.
Now we're willing to negotiate it, and we must do it on that kind of basis. Now, Vietnam. I have nothing to report to you at this moment. I know that it seems like ages that we wonder is the negotiating track. Here's the key question that you've got to really wrestle with. Costello said to me, well, look, if the negotiating track is blocked, what are we waiting for? Why don't we just announce something? You see, all that I can say to you, Ed, is that time is running out for negotiation. There's no question about that. Because as we go through the summer months and our forces go down, you know, 200,000 and less, there's not much left to negotiate, you see. But on the other hand, in my view, just as you come to the point where the negotiating track may be running out, maybe the time, maybe, as I never had any hopes here, heaven's got a little more hope than I have. But that just may be the time that your chance for negotiation is perhaps substantially greater. Now, I can only say that, and I don't want to mislead you, and I don't want to indicate that something is going on more than actually is. But I've always talked straight on this, Jim, as well. I can only say that I have not given up on negotiation. I've got to have, we have to have a reasonable chance over the next 3 months or so to see what goes. Now, I think, Captain, you might want to elaborate on that at all. Let's remember now that Ed's got a special problem there. I mean, in terms of his, well, beliefs, certainly, but... I think we can talk and play candid. Let me say, I wouldn't say what I'm saying unless we were doing something that you're not reading about. I can't tell you what we're doing. And also, I don't want to indicate that there's more going on than there is. When we met before, there were various Republican private meetings and all. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about other things. There are ways to structure that.
I don't think I can speculate on what may or may not be going on because we're talking about trends. You can make this assessment. Hanoi has this choice to make now. Is it going to let this thing run its course with whatever push it can give it during that time? Or is it going to bring it to a conclusion before that through negotiation? Now, you can make a case either way. They look at our public opinion and our riots and so forth, they might figure, they say, long enough, something has got to give you. On the other hand, the military situation in South Vietnam is not good for them. they have not brought off any major attack now.
Not good for them.
For them, for the North Vietnamese.
Damn good for the South Vietnamese.
They have not succeeded in any major attack in 2 years.
You notice the casualties dropped to 32, but they'll
casualties are down.
Be less than that this week.
Probably. It's always hard to say when it's so low, but military action is very low.
There was no offensive this year at all.
And,
yes, that's right.
And
did you know that casualties this whole year had not 1 week went above 66?
I forget. I think once they were up at 80. But the average is certainly below 60. For
below
the
50. The average is below 50 because your first 3 months you had, first 2 months you had very low.
Remember
we had one of 16.
But the infiltration level was the highest it's been since pre-Tet. But much of it was used up in the Laotian operation, which from a purely military point of view, leaving aside the psychological impact, did achieve quite a bit. So when they look at the situation, they may find that 2 years from now, or whenever, however our program operates, by that time we'll be substantially out, but their situation won't be any better as a result of it. So that they may decide that they do want to negotiate on our withdrawal.
Also, have in mind the fact the Chinese thing, the fact that the Russians are making temperate statements at the moment can only have some effect on them. You see, you've got to put yourself in their position. Now, having pointed out those things, let's leave out what little Mickey Mouse things may be happening, talks and so forth and so on. Things are going on, I can say. They've been going on before, but the great significant trends are perhaps point to a greater possibility now than I think any time since we've been here.
Now the trouble
It'll run out.
The trouble is, you know, you read the New York Times editorial yesterday, and in fact I've got to see him. Bob Kleiman is waiting for me.
That's right. You'll have to wait a minute,
because
I gotta see you too before I leave
the floor. Oh, I see. They give the impression that foreign policy, that negotiations with them, it's like a detective story in which they throw out vague clues and we have to guess at an answer. We've got a lot of experience, and I have it in two administrations now. That's not how the North Vietnamese operate. They don't make a vague hint, which we then reject.
No.
And then if they want something, like a deadline, or getting rid of Pew, they hit us over the head 3 times a week with it. So we are going to make a major effort to see what can be achieved through negotiations.
That's right.
In complicated ways, because...
A major negotiating offensive.
But now, not that you may necessarily see.
Now, incidentally, but I just want you to know that we will, that's going to come. You must not say that. You must not say you anticipate that we are.
No,
you can, but I can just say that we have not given up on the negotiating track, and we are going to make a major...
Actually, the analysis is...
Quite soon.
That we might have, we don't know. They might just not have a point. They might just not be able to negotiate for domestic and other reasons.
Yeah.
So we can't be too optimistic, but you should... Everything we're doing now is really designed to help the negotiations. And it's not just blindly going on with the war.
No.
For the war's sake.
And if our major negotiating initiative fails there, then we are going on our other track of withdrawal and replacement. That track will succeed.
You still are under those circumstances at that set of times, sir.
Not now.
Because
the question is timing.
What you've done with China and with the Soviet Union at the present time, it seems to me that it would behoove them to questionably agree for the return of prisoners of war in these circumstances.
Yeah, let me tell you about the time. The time will come when that's going to happen. I mean, that's, you know what I mean? When you're down to a certain number, and you're going to say what the rest of the game is. The time is not right now. We can't do it now because over the next 3 months is the critical... Well, frankly, it's the critical and last negotiating chance.
Come on. But you'd be careful of our passage of the government,
bad. Because basically that's part of our history. That's what it is.
Well, you see, there could be enough vote for
them. I know. Well, we'll
get you that.
We'll have to do. Well, there may be that. They may be. Something may happen before you vote.
Suppose that's what I'm saying.
How soon are they going to come out?
Well, they're going to, after we finish Mansfield, we've got a few more in the draft for us to draft today.
Well,
and then his comes up next.
All right.
It's going to be a filibuster, of course. It's going to be
we'll have some time. We'll have a little time.
We've got some time. But I guess I'd much rather you, even if you set the time and set the two, because there's flexibility there. I mean, I don't think they're wedded to the 31st of December or anything like that. And we discussed that at the meeting the other day.
I know. And I know you're incidentally, I'm not trying to move anybody on this. All I can say is this, that I...
you've got time.
I've got to have some time. I've got to have some time for negotiating purposes. That's all there is to it. And I wouldn't look from a political standpoint. I know everybody wants to set a deadline. I mean, what the hell? We know that.
But I would do the same.
Why did I not set it? The reason is I think that we can have a chance to end it quicker this way. We've got to run that chance out, and then we'll look at it.
Yeah, but if you were
to say,
the tragedy, if you were to say that, then we're down the line.
I'm not going to say that. I haven't even said what the president asked me in this month. I didn't even mention that. You tell me what I can say, and you tell me what I can't say. I respect that.
Right. Well, I understand. Let's just say that on this one that you, I'm talking in riddles for reasons.
But this is again based on an assessment, like, you know, the North Vietnamese, it's not based on any facts.
No, we don't have any. I don't mean to suggest at this point that you're going to expect an open sesame, open sesame, et cetera. What I am saying is that let's look at the Russian position. They're concerned about the China. They're concerned about their own economy. They now are ahead of us in their long-range missiles. They'll equal us in submarines. They're no longer in a position of inferiority. They see us building an ABM. So, what should they do? What's in it for them? See, put ourselves in their positions. Now, the real question there is whether their military will control Russia. The other point, the objective thing to have in mind, is that the Russians now have a leader. Russia has the balls. He's the leader. He's the man. He was not until Party Congress. It was a conglomerate. So therefore, having said all these things, we now feel that this is the time we're going to find out. We're either going to answer or we're not. I think we're going to find it out in a reasonable time. So, but what I have to say to you, one, we couldn't be working harder for Sulphur, and we're being damn flexible. Damn flexible, I can assure you. You know, all the various suggestions, why don't we look at them, or why don't we look at this? We're doing all that. We're trying. We've offered a various numbers of packages. Second, the Chinese thing has to be played very low-key and scopely on our part. What is said publicly on the part of others is okay. Third, what I would say doesn't bother us. Great, but you said that you know my position from the beginning. You can say you and I traveled in the campaign. We talked about China. I think that's a good thing for you to say.
Very helpful.
So that it doesn't look as if we just fell into the ping pong thing. Because this has been my view for years. And also, I'm a man of the Pacific. I mean, I live in the Pacific. I know that the game's going to be in the Pacific. You know it too. That's where the state of the world is going to be determined. So there you go. Now, on the Vietnam thing, all I can tell you today is that, and I can just assure you, we just have to take it, the negotiating track is still open. When it's closed, I'll tell you. But as long as it's open, I've got to oppose any action that I think will send us back over the open. How close?
That means is that the if they were planning a major offensive, and the Russians had said we had complete unanimity here, that would really be a challenge to us, which I don't believe they want this summer for their own reasons. So I think it either means a continuation of the status quo or a peace move. It may not be a peace move we can accept, but if they were determined, for example, to stalemate, to stalemate, they would have accepted the 9th or the 16th, because to stalemate they didn't have to delay. So I think there is a finite chance that something may break with them. He doesn't have to travel to Peking and Moscow for such lengths if he isn't ready to do something. It may not be anything we can possibly accept. The only problem is that my seeing him on the 30th or 31st, and I'll make a recommendation to you by Monday whether we shouldn't put off the Q meeting by 2 weeks. It's set now. No, but frankly, I'm not that sure that the Q meeting will help you domestically.
Well, the Q meeting won't help you, the announcement. That's the problem, the real problem we have to deal with. You see, troop withdrawals do not happen. They help start. But the ending of the American combat wars will be not that simple. So that's really the first Q meeting.
Yeah, but you also have to promise him economic aid. We can handle it, Mr. President. It's not an insuperable problem.
I think that the person I don't think your game in Paris is that important. It could be, but if it is, we can always change our minds at the time. But I think that we have to remember that everything we're doing is present time for the fighting. Very difficult rear guard action in the summer. Hell, they run off and over. I'll let you know when I voted for the man's view.
Of course, that Brezhnev thing, Mr. President, plus the Salt announcement, I don't know what it does to the Senate, but a lot of these guys now will have to worry what you might be up to. What else you might have up your sleeve.
Well, that's right. But I'm just kidding. You know, this will have a hell of an effect on him. You know very well that Salt announcement comes out. So, on the, you have to tell them I'm not here. There's somebody trying to get them. Someone's trying to insult them. Find out who it is. The surgeon's fine. Otherwise, we'll have to return tomorrow. You see, on the Q meeting, we'll have to display the amount of people there. But it is censored. Well, you find out what I was talking. He called me.
He was calling me.
Yeah.
Everybody talks. Everybody's really bothered when they get to talk to God.
Oh, yeah, sure. Have a major problem on that day.
Well, then that would
8th is the only day you can make it. Now, if it turns out that you can, we can still change it.
The date is scrambling.
Because of 2 years.
It isn't. Yeah, and also because if anything, maybe we can do it earlier. You can get in Paris on the 30th. You go to Paris on the 30th, right?
30th or 31st.
Then, we can be in the 7th.
But you'll be in Tulsa on the 5th.
No, it's 5th, 6th, 7th. It's not easy to go on the 7th, not on the 7th. But in the meantime, let me say that the only purpose of the two meetings is to have some positive announcement on Vietnam. And I don't know anything else. You do. You see, we can't. Actually, we can't say that it's a heavy group. Well, I think it's awfully hard to run the country with a bunch of government soft hands like there are in the Senate and so forth. Of course, the real point is they all want to run the situation. And you cannot have that.
And you are the only strong man in the administration that's concentrated all here. There's nobody who, like Atchison yesterday, said, and you can see now, what he did for Truman, he just stepped up there, made himself hated, but it took a lot of heat off Truman.
Yes. When you're talking to the president, yes, quite often, let's not make Mike a martyr in our own conversation. You're not taking Mike on. I'd say he's a nice fellow, but we just make it better. And I make a whole lot of it expression.
But that, we've had a meeting just before I came in to see you. And that we
played
doing
well.
Yeah, McGregor, now that he's positioned, his first instinct is always off. But now he's good.
Did they get out, that statement?
Yes.
Did they practice names?
They got practically everybody that the son of a bitch Clifford wouldn't sign it. And
Clifford?
Yeah. And Gates doesn't want to sign it. So we're just dropping the Secretary of Defense because because we wanted to move, we can move Lovett into the Undersecretary of State category, and then we don't need the Defense Secretary. McElroy doesn't amount to anything. And McNamara. Can't find it anyway. It's a real strong decision.
Yeah, it's good to have Clifford. Sure, it exposes him to what he is.
Yes. He's a chief.
He's a smart and partisan. And then, I think of those other guys in that room are partisans also.
Oh, no question.
Vance, all those guys are very hard ass.
Yeah, but you debanked them. What the hell can you took the leadership? None of them did, Mr. President.
Yeah. Right now, we must not. Mike is not done writing us on this either. We're offering him a stand China trip and everything like that. He's, just pretty coordinators.
Yeah. And to offer something of his magnitude without any deeply courtesy of advanced consultation, he wants to be told when we go, when we do anything ahead of time, but when he does something.
I'll solve the color of it, I'll have to tell him, yes.
There's nothing to be gained.
I'm just telling him that I think I should show him a note that was sent out from the Denver, or is it sent to
I'll get it tied up.
Get it sorted out. I said, here's what happened. I said, now we find out what happened. The things began to gel, and while you were gone, you got a break in the periods. And I don't know unless you did it. So that's
exactly
right. Be frank with you, too. I do think that it's pretty rough. pull on it.
Well,
their idea. If we can do that, see, that's the real thing.
No.
I mean, this is consulting stuff, but I think it's a whole lot easier. Well, maybe we're up for something else. See.
Well, that's what I mean. We have China coming up, SALT coming up. You've been saying now, you said 3 weeks ago, you're not discouraged about SALT back, you're in this. And for 6 weeks, Mr. President, not a damn thing can happen. You know, for 6 weeks, no one can fool market. I'll see that that's it.
There are people here. Brooke has been more decent than most of the other people.
I don't believe it. And considering his constituency.
Oh, hell, his constituency is dubbish as hell.
He's pretty
smart.
In the
meantime, he's all flat and right. He's pretty smart.